honor for me to be here this afternoon at the World Social Forum. It's the first time that I'm attending a World Social Forum, and I'm finding the discussions incredibly stimulating. And it's just a huge honor to be amongst a group of people, activists that are so engaged and interested in the issues. It's not often that I come across meetings where I come from, where people are so interested in the issues that are being discussed. So I want to say thank you to all of you. Can go back too. And I'm going to try to answer that question about spreading the word about politics and social mobilization. But what I wanted to insert as a prefix to politics is to say that we need to spread the word about progressive politics. I think the world that we live in is pretty much polarized, and it's polarized between two opposing views. We've got conservative viewpoints as well as progressive viewpoints in the world. But if one scans an eye across the globe and look at what's happening in most countries of the world, you would not be wrong if you started to believe that progressives are losing the fight. And I might be starting to take a slightly different position to what's being talked about here. I think many of us would immediately identify the causes as neoliberalism and social conservatism. Given that we see the way that the world is developing and this inequality that's growing and a particular ideology that's quite hegemonic and winning over others, over other viewpoints and approaches and models, does this mean that most people in the world are conservative? I don't think so. I'm not convinced that conservatives are winning. I mean, I think the case is more that conservatives have managed to take control of institutions of power. So whether it's in the business sector or in institutions of government, I think conservative people are well placed in those institutions, and I think that's what's driving the inappropriate policies that are creating a huge amount of social and economic problems in the world. You know, from my point of view, I don't think a lot of people in the world are conservative. My view is that the vast majority of people in our world would tend to take a neutral position. And I describe that as the path of least resistance, because it's easy, because of life's responsibilities and the pressures of having to get through your day-to-day living, the path of least resistance becomes the easiest one that you take. With this understanding in our minds, I think progressive people must take whatever opportunities are available to them to shift public opinion to the left. Too often I think we have good intentions in what we are doing as well, but we spend too much time talking to each other. And we even create an illusion about our strength and power. So I think it's very, very important for progressives to break out of our little sector and out of our little bubbles and start engaging with mainstream society. Given that most of us work for non-profit organizations, NGOs, social movements, and so on and so forth, we can't compete with the corporate world. We don't have advertising budgets that can reach the mainstream society. I think then one of the most efficient and effective ways to reach people quickly and cheaply is to use the people whose business it already is to engage the public, and that's the mainstream media. Whether it's print media, television or radio, it then becomes incumbent upon us, our responsibility, to see how we can capitalize and leverage the mainstream media to spread our message to mainstream society. And this is why our organization works with the media. We're a small news agency. I think a better description of what we do is that we're a feature service. Because what we do is we release opinion pieces directly to the mainstream media. And these articles, these op-eds, are then taken by the mainstream media and published in their newspapers. One of the other things we do is engage directly in discussion with the media. So we hold discussion forums with them. And in South Africa, the problem that we face is poverty and inequality. And our media is very, very reluctant to engage with questions around the drivers of poverty and inequality. So they don't ask questions about what is causing poverty, what are the systemic drivers of poverty, and we trying to introduce those kinds of issues and discussions into mainstream media. The other thing is, we all know that the media are not neutral. This principle of balanced reporting is a myth, it doesn't happen. Too often, there's journalistic shorthand and biases that creep into articles that they write, and they can actually feed into social problems. And I want to give an example of that. In South Africa in 2008, there were very violent conflicts in poor communities between South Africans and immigrants from other African countries. And basically what was happening was the conflict was over the fact that poor South Africans believed that Africans from the continent, from the rest of the continent, were coming in and stealing their jobs. And research was done after that, and it was found that much of what incited the people was the language that the media used in the way they covered immigrants when they wrote about immigrants in South Africa. Very often, the word job stealers or some other variation of that would appear in an article. In fact, for our main press agency in South Africa, which is called the South African Press Agency, it was discovered that in the vicinity of 30% of the articles that focused on immigrants had something or focus on losing jobs and jobs being stolen. We've been going for 3 years now. I'm surprised that up to 50% of the copy that we release to the media gets picked up by them and published. These are not articles that appear on pages that are not important, they're always on the leader pages. And because of the quality of our writing, and because of the experience of our writers, it has hardly been the case that our articles have been edited by the media. And I have a team of writers that are very verbose. In other words, they just love writing and they can go on and on. And when you go to any media training course, they'll tell you keep it short, 800 words, and so on and so forth. My team doesn't write like that. We also don't agree with that position because we believe we need to give people depth and context and understanding of the issues. And we write at length about issues. But simply because of the quality of what we're writing, it's getting published. And the other thing about the model that we're using is that there's a lot of attention on building young people and young people's organizations and building new generations to engage with the media. And that's very important work, as we've seen with the social media and inspiring revolutions and so on in Egypt and places like that. But we take a different approach. We're all old. In fact, my youngest writer is 35 years old. We're between, I'd say, 35 to 55 years old. Your average person there is in the mid-40s. And there's a very special reason behind this. When you write opinions, you've got to write from a base of experience. The other reason is, when you have limited funds, you work with people who know what they're talking about. So they've been working for 20 years, and they produce good copy in that way. Look, I wanted to talk a little bit about our debates and engagement with the mainstream media, but I'm not going to talk about it because we don't have time to talk about it. That. But what I want to say is that we've got to break out of talking to each other. We've got to find ways to engage with mainstream society. Sometimes it means toning down our views and perspectives. It means we've got to be innovative and creative so that we don't make them defensive in the way we engage with them. So we've got to gently push them.
Thank you.